Hi, my name is Paula Underwater.
Hi, I'm Aquascape Adventure Ryan.
Welcome to Rumblefish,
your underwater journey.
One more week.
Another week, and here it is.
One more guest.
Yeah. You're not laughing at this one, though.
No, I'm trying
to. You usually get the giggles bad.
I just turned 41 on Monday, so now I'm all, all seriousness. And
the cat is out of the bag. You've been hiding that for so long.
I mean, I tell everybody. I don't care. I still look like I'm 25, so I don't have a problem. Canada. Where in Canada are you at? Is it Toronto?
I'm in Toronto, yes. Toronto. Yes.
I've heard it's very beautiful up there.
It's nice. It's nice. You go a little bit up more north, there's a lot of scenery. I go to Algonquin Park, which is a three-hour drive from where I live. I go hiking there sometimes. Sometimes I find inspiration there too. Definitely. A lot of green, mm-hmm. which is nice. Yeah.
And at this point, we haven't said your name yet, so probably people are like, what the heck? Sorry.
Come on, guys. Cheers.
Anthony, a.k.a. Buiscape.
Buiscape. We have Anthony Bui here today, all the way from Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, thank you for coming today. I know we've been trying to set this up for a while and getting our schedules to match, so super excited to finally be able to chat with you.
Yeah, for sure. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the Rumble. Are you ready to rumble?
Oh, yeah. We're ready.
So you listened to some episodes, so you know how it works. When was your first contact with the aquarium world?
My first contact? Sorry, my dog's in the background.
That's all right. We usually have my cat like walking on top of the table.
What I can remember, my earliest memory of what got me into aquascaping was I think I was in grade 7. It was like 2007, 2008, when I was seeing ADA on YouTube. Like the ADA gallery, mm-hmm. and just seeing the vivid HD quality videos really got me so immersed into aquascaping. That was when it changed how I view aquariums, because I never seen aquariums like that. And I guess the ability of having YouTube sharing content like that allowed me to see things that I never got to see outside of Canada. And I guess in Japan, it's pretty big. The hobby, mm-hmm. Hobby's pretty big over there. And then ever since then, you know, like I always just wanted a tank one day. And then I started aquascaping, I'd say 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But then I moved around a lot in the last 2 years. I never got to have a finished tank or a completed tank until this year during COVID. You know, and then that's how I started making the content I've been making recently.
COVID has done so much good for the,
it sure
for the
has.
Community and the hobby. You never know where it's coming from, and it had to come from a pandemic, but we make the best out of it, that's for sure. So how was that? How was your first attempt at a real aquascape tank, and tell us about it.
My first tank was, I'm trying to remember, I'll say 15 or 16 gallons. And my close childhood friend actually introduced me to the hobby locally, because even though I was interested in it, I never started it until I saw him do it. Mm. So when he introduced me to, he taught me how to do carpets and stuff. Mm-hmm. So after this podcast, I want to see if I can find my old photo of my first tank.
Ooh, that would be really cool.
And then I'll show it to you guys. But my first carpet was HC Cuba. So okay. Dwarf baby tears. I didn't use any other plants. I just really liked the Iwagumis, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess that was like kind of my inspiration at the time. And that's how like I started my first aquascape. And then,
That's interesting just to get started in it with an Iwagumi style tank. Because usually people, when they start into aquascaping, or like they start with the planted tanks, which is usually where people start. It's like, let's put all the plants in there, you know, just make a big mess. And you started by being like very controlled.
Yeah.
Because I'm very picky. Mm-hmm. I think what got me to plant, because I wasn't a plant guy. It's funny because I told my friend that showed me aquascaping. He had his planted tank, similar to what you're describing with all the plants. I wasn't interested. I was like, I never thought I'd be a plant guy. I was interested in the shrimps and like the species he had. But then he slowly introduced it to me. And then I'm looking at all the plants that are available on like, the tropical website. But then HD Cuba just really appealed to me so much. So I'm like, I want to use that plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a carpet, basically. I wanted like an underwater carpet. He had Monte Carlo, but he also showed me HD Cuba. And then he was telling me how Monte Carlo was easier. And he didn't even recommend me to do HD Cuba because it was much more difficult. But I just liked the size of the leaves. It was just so nice to me. Mm-hmm. And I told him, like, I want that carpet. So I want to give it a shot. It wasn't easy. I definitely struggled because the carpet uprooted during the process. Mm-hmm. I used the hairpins to like keep it down. Because I'm like, how do I grow these things? You know, yeah. I didn't even use proper soil. I used the black sand from I forgot the brand. Maybe a Seachem.
Yeah,
maybe it was just black sand. Mm-hmm. There's no nutrients. For some reason, it grew. And wow. It worked eventually. It took like I think 3 to 4 months to get like a nice decent carpet, but yeah. So now starting from there, like, I'm still very new to the hobby. I don't know that much. I'm still learning every species. And before I decide to pick a new plant to plant, like I really try to study the aesthetics of how the plant looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like it. Then I'm like, hey, I want that plant. And that plan. There's so many species out there, and I guess I'm just waiting for future designs and how I'm going to implement certain scapes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, certain plants into the scape.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, yeah. That's a slightly different approach than most of the ones we've heard.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's a very controlled. I mean, I was listening to I think his name was Kim. He was talking about Iwugamis and how hard it is for that to be a competition tank, just because it's so, like, there's no room for error. Like, it has to be perfect in every aspect, from your rock to the placement to how everything is growing. Like, it's such an art form to do a tank like that. And that's why, like, the chaos and the chaotic tanks are the ones that people go for, because there's so much more room.
It's so much easier.
Yeah, and there's just so much more room to have a little error there, or something doesn't look quite right, but you make it look right. Like, there's no going back with an Iwugami. It's all or nothing almost.
Pretty much. No, I agree. I agree with that sentiment.
Iwugamis are the body cans of fashion. nothing you can hide.
No. I love them too. I have
body con dresses?
Yes, I do. I've got a whole world of them. I mean, I would have worn it today if you would have let me, but no, I have two tanks right now. That, you know, I really enjoy them. They're easy maintenance. You know, I understand why, you know, some people don't like them, because they can get a little bit boring because it's the same thing. But I find the different art just appealing.
I'm not a fan of Iwugamis.
No way.
I mean, I like to see them in a picture, and I can admire the beauty and you know, the all the intention behind them. But then when I had one, I ended up giving it away. Like, Ryan has it now, because I was just getting bored. It's like, you know, let's trim the carpet again, and that's about it. So I don't know.
I see what you're saying with okay, so my first tank, it was like an Iwugami, but it was like a little twisted. There's like a cave in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So when I designed that tank, I liked my friend's Galaxy Raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had them, it was hiding a lot, right? So for me, even when I pick my fish, I search their personalities before I get them.
Mm-hmm.
I figure out the sizing, because I want the proportions to be correct. And then, because Galaxies at the time when I had them, they were very shy. And I knew they didn't like to be like out there too much. So I make caves for them. So it's like an Iwugami. The carpet was on the two sides. In the center had like the rocks kind of like hanging like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a lot of caves for them. So a lot of the times I never saw my fish until I sat there for like, you know, 5 minutes.
Long enough.
Not
yeah.
moving in the dark. Mm-hmm. And they eventually, you know, got comfortable and came out. So yeah. So I guess that was my twist to make my Iwugami interesting.
Mm.
And not too, you know, plain.
That's interesting, because I just set up a little cube. It's a UNS 25C.
Nice.
And it's not an Iwugami by any means. There's no carpet, but you know, it has only rocks. And I did the same thing that you're mentioning. I stacked the rocks in a way that the top one over, like, it kind of overhangs from the bottom one, and it created these little caves, and I have galaxy rest borders in there. So the first the first morning after I put them in there and I went to bed, and then I wake up in the morning and I turned the light on. I didn't turn the light on, but it was getting light outside. And I couldn't see them at all. And they were all hiding in those little overhangs right underneath, like barely any space for them to be in there, but they were all there. And I'm like, damn, they're all dead. They're not moving. But no, they're all doing fine.
They're very shy.
Yeah. They are very super shy fish.
It's the same with my rest borers that we just put in the shallow.
Emerald dwarf rest borers are notorious for being shy.
Those ones are very shy, like even more shy than the galaxy.
Yeah. And I have so much hiding in the back between all the, where it gets really shallow and like all the pond plants are starting to come up. So there's so much hiding. And it's like, you'll open the door and like go out there and you just all see them just scatter. Shoo. And it's like, yep, they're gone. You know, I got some blue diamond shrimp in there and they're like, I don't care. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not running away from anything. I have food here, but the rasboras, no, they're all gone. It's like, it was almost the same thing. It's like, I think I killed them all. It was actually kind of funny because the second day I was out there cleaning another tank and there was water on the ground. And I look over and there's a little fish flopping. And it was one of the new rasboras. And I'm like, how do I pick this little guy up? I mean, he's not even really a half inch yet. They're probably like a quarter inch.
They're very small.
And I'm like, I don't even know how to pick this up. Like, I literally got the gravel mover, like the gravel scaper, and was trying to like just barely get it under him just to get it up, because like the net was like even bigger than he is, like even the shrimp net, like I couldn't get him up.
I have nightmares that go like that, like fish on the ground and me trying to pick the fish and not being able to. I have like literal nightmares.
I used to freak out. No, me too. Like when I see a fish on the floor, I'm like, oh my God, like, what do I do? You know, but there's no one else that's going to help me but myself. And I'm like, the longer I wait, you know, like, you know, you're counting down. It's like a Mission Impossible film. Like, you know, you're trying to, you know, save them as fast as you can. You're like, how do I pick them up? Yeah. And like,
and you're trying not to use your fingers because it's like, I know I'm going to squish this little guy.
I know.
It's not, right? It's not like a gourami or an angel that just happened to get out of the tank. This is like the smallest life form.
Those struggles of nano fish.
Yeah.
Real. I just added a bunch of blue, what you call those? Axelrody rasboras to my black water tank. And they were really small too. They were about half an inch maybe. And I was just so afraid because it's like, I'm just gonna, there's one that's gonna, because they jump. They're really jumpy. And I had some in the net and they were like trying to jump out of the net. And I'm like, okay, hurry up and put them in the water. Oh, it's so stressful. So stressful. That reminds me. I'm sorry, we're all rumbling here a lot today.
All good.
I got some springtails.
Yep.
For my vivarium. I have a little mossarium. I don't know how you call those. Just a little terrarium with mosses and lichens and a little bit of plants.
Nice.
And because I have it inside of a shizuku pot, you know, the humidity is really high in there, and I have a piece of driftwood, and mold started developing on them. Ooh. On the driftwood. Which is not driftwood, it's just a piece of manzanita. Anyways, read online that I needed springtails, because springtails, they eat the mold.
And they're very good for the ecosystem in there.
Off I go to the internet, I buy some springtails online. And when it gets to me, it's like this Tupperware full of moving little critters. And I'm like, I'm going to open the lid and they're all going to jump on me.
Do they jump?
Yeah, they jump. That's what they do. They jump.
Not really.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you.
Of course not. They do jump. They jump a lot. That's what they do.
The funny thing is that mine occurred naturally when I was doing a dry start once.
Oh, interesting.
And they were just hundreds of them.
Yikes.
Oh, wow.
They're like tiny, teeny little white.
Yeah.
They're not big at all, but they, I don't know. I was itchy for hours afterwards. We were talking about it on the group chat, on the WhatsApp group chat. And it's like, I'm not going to tell these guys that I'm still itchy because they're going to think I'm crazy. But I was itchy for hours.
You should have seen some of these comments. I was busy doing something and I was just trying to follow along. And everyone's like, the first comment we see is raid. I almost lost it.
Oh, man. Anyways, let's go back to what we came here for.
do you guys know Andrianscape? I think it's like Andrianscape. Andrianscaper.
I don't think so. Let's look it up.
He's got some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw in his story that he's trying to do an ant farm. These guys are talking about bugs already. Mm-hmm. And I've never done ant farming before. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
There's a YouTube channel that's called Ants Canada. It's a guy that does ant farms, like all sorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andreas. I know that was a thing, like a big thing, you know? And I'm like, I'm kind of interested.
They look really cool. Like the ones I've seen online, they look like just like full-on terrarium ecosystems with like a colony of ants with their queen ants or whatever you call them.
The way they start it, it's so interesting.
Yeah. It's like, just so many.
Find the queen or make the queen.
Yeah, or buy the queen.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
There's a supplier in Canada. So I messaged the guy and then I was like, ask him more about it. And he like had all this information about, oh, he's like, Canada has it too. He even like gave me some information if I want to start one. But I don't know if my girl wants me to have an ant farm. She doesn't like bugs. But it's definitely something of mine that I want to try one day.
Yeah, it's always interesting to keep in mind your significant order when you start bringing bugs in the house. I was showing Ryan the scape guy because I also got, sorry, Ryan. I also got some roly-polies, isopods for the terrarium. And he was so grossed out by them. And I'm like, really? Oh, they're so cute. And he's like, nope, nope.
It's funny because my kids will go out and like find them, that worms, bugs, spiders, and they'll just throw them in the paldarium. They're like, can we put that in there? And I'm like, of course you can. Just throw it in there. Just don't throw it in the water. I mean, we don't need floaters, but so yeah, they go out there and catch us all day long.
Yeah, that's cool. I got these really cool isopods. They're called, was that an earthquake? Oh no, that's probably your kids.
You're not used to having kids running around,
no,
I could
I'm
see.
Not.
My kids are running around upstairs and all of a sudden Paula, I just see this freaked out moment.
We're in California, so earthquakes are a thing here. they're really cool. They're called dairy cow isopods. And they're like white with black dots. They're really cool looking.
We're about to have a bug tank.
Yeah, why not? As long as they're contained. You know, these guys are too big to get out of the Shizuku, so they're in there.
Yeah, they're not known climbers either. And that has a rounded kind of bowl shape. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way they're getting out of that.
I barely see them, though. They hide most of the time. I think they're nocturnal or something. Whatever. Anyways, Anthony, let's go back to you.
Yes.
So we talked about your first Iwagumi you put together. What came after that? Do you still have that one?
No. I took that one down when I moved. Like, mm-hmm. I it finally settled, you know? And then I think I enjoyed it for a couple, maybe like a few weeks, and then I had to move.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was very upset, you know.
And you didn't try to move it with you?
No, I actually moved it from the living room upstairs to the basement. And then I moved outside of the property. Mm. Then I didn't take it with me. It was too much work. I just tore it down.
How big was that?
It was similar to the tank that I have right now with the big driftwood that you guys see. 15 to 16 gallons from what I remember.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No worries.
Rumbled so much that I forgot about that. So we have Ryan here scrolling down your Instagram feed, at Buiscape on Instagram, if you guys don't follow him yet.
You know, I got to say, because we've been waiting for this chat for a while, and I got to say, so your photography skills are just unbelievable.
Thank you.
More than that, like I was looking at your building of that, like your new tank with that giant rock in there. And then you had the diagram and like the water movement. And like if the sun is coming this way, the plants, like, do you have I guess this is a two-parter. Do you have training in photography and do you have like a, what's the right word? It's not biology or...
What's your background?
I did photography. I studied photography at Ryerson University in Toronto. I did it for 3 years. But I've been working retail in the last 8 years. I didn't really do, like, I did photography gigs here and there. I always enjoyed photography, but it wasn't really something I kind of pushed the way I've been doing it with the aquariums. I feel like this hobby has pushed me as a photographer. Okay. You know, it's kind of complemented each other. Now I'm so dependent on my camera. Meanwhile, the last 8 years, I barely picked up my camera after I finished school. Well, I didn't finish school, actually. I dropped out in the third year. And then I just went to work. That's basically it. And then I would shoot for fun when I would travel. I would shoot landscape photography and stuff. Just thing I would always do as a hobby. But then with aquascaping, I started utilizing my camera much more. And then it started challenging me to push myself as a photographer. You know, my goal for my page is to not make the same content after every post. I always want to challenge myself to make something new. You know, it was a little bit difficult at first because I only had one tank. And I was like, from like February till now, I'm like, what can I do with this one tank and how much content I can make? I would stare at my tank, bring my camera. You know, sometimes I'd spend hours photographing, but I was not happy with the shot and I would have to reshoot the next day. But it's fun, you know, like I'm definitely enjoying the process. I'm very happy with the feedback. Everyone has been so supportive. I do not have a background in biology. I'm still learning, actually, with all of this. This hobby is teaching me so much. Yeah. You know, like learning how the direction of the plant grows. I only discovered that based on observing my tank. I'm like, why is my plant, you know, growing that way? You know, like why is everything in this very specific direction? And I'm looking at the window and it just kind of makes sense because it is closer to the window.
Yeah, that's what I see that a lot with my houseplants. Depending on where I place them, they will grow towards whatever light it's coming in, depending on the time of the day, depending on the plant. It's really interesting.
It's
so interesting.
The funny thing is, I don't know if it's funny, but the one thing I love the most is my 125 is in my, like, the entryway, and the lights go out at 10 o'clock. And they don't come on till about 2. So there's a lot of time of darkness that I can see it. And watching how the plants react differently when they're like in that nocturnal state, when they all kind of close up and they're a completely different look. And there's just enough light in the, you know, in the room that I can still see in the tank, but the plants have completely shifted and they look, it's a completely different looking tank.
Huh, I've never noticed that on mine, on my tanks.
And I was actually talking to someone, I think it was Steve, and he was like, actually all plants, because I thought it was just a couple plants that kind of like change their form or their shape dependent on the light. And I guess all plants have a reaction to daylight and nighttime. And I find it's almost just as much fun to watch it when there's no lights on.
So fascinating.
My Neptunia, the water mimosa that I have in the shallow tank, in the little shallow, It closes its leaves at night. So it opens during the day and you can see it. It's just like they're all spread out beautiful. And then if you touch them, that's why it's called a sensitive plant. Because if you touch it, it will like close.
It closes. Leaves.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's awesome. And then it naturally does it at night as well when the light goes off.
It's almost like that's a little umbrella. Brilliant. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
There's so much out there, like so much to learn. And I feel like what I'm really enjoying so much is like, I feel like I'm barely touching the surface with everything. You know, I really don't think I know as much as there is out there. And knowing that now, it's like, I'm just excited to learn as much as I can, you know, throughout the next years.
Yeah, when we were talking to Tom Barr a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned having hundreds of different species of plants in his house. Crazy. In the house, hundreds. He couldn't even count them.
It was funny because a couple of days later, I saw a post on Facebook about somebody selling the chia red. You know, the little, it's a crypt, and it's a very thought after plant.
The chai, yes. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm looking at it, and he's got a massive supply of it. And then I look up, and it's Tom Barr. I'm like, of course it's Tom Barr. I'm going to have to call that guy. Because that's not an easy plant to find. It's one of those rare ones, and that's Tom Barr. I mean, he loves those hard to get, just really exotic, and it's so awesome when you see somebody like that that's just able to propagate and has hundreds of them.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to keep an AR mini alive. That's my kryptonite.
I'm just trying to keep my Red Room floaters alive. Which, you know, they're doing, and I'm just like going to touch wood right now and cross my fingers because I know I'm going to just jinx at the moment I say it. They're doing really good.
No water movement and no water on top, and they seem to do okay.
Well, I have them in the black water, and there's a lot of surface agitation on that one. But Roger Aquarium Psycho, he actually told me, it's like, you need to have enough of them that they will like stop the movement on their own. Yeah. Like they will corner themselves, like find a little something to anchor. So I have some driftwood that's coming out of the water. So they all kind of corner themselves to, you know, one side on the tank. And even though there's a lot of surface agitation and a lot of flow, they're staying there. And they're like, they're doing great.
Yeah, it's funny because in the bowl, I get very, very bright red. They'll flower and bud. And like even the roots are super red. And then if I throw them in like the powdarium, for example, that's like right next to it, they start to go back to greenish. And there's no water flow in that one either. Like it's just one of those things that's fascinating to watch from tank to tank. I know we talk about it all the time that like each tank is different, even when you're doing the same parameters in each one. Like, there's no way to replicate it as much as you want to.
Yeah. I've always had really bad luck with red floaters. Like, any other floater, no problem. they're flowering for me and everything. I'm really happy.
I'm all floaters.
I've just seen
both. I might get some red floaters for myself.
They're really pretty.
Yeah.
I have them in the cube that I was mentioning earlier with the Galaxy Res 4S. I have some in there. And because it's a tiny tank and it only has a little... one of those mini hang on the box. They're doing really good too there. And I have them an ONF nano flat, whatever you call that. So they have
how many do you have?
How many?
How many? Yeah.
How many what?
Galaxy Raspberries. That tank.
I'm not gonna tell because people are gonna tell me that. But I have 15 of them. No. I have 10 of them in a what's that, a 5-gallon tank?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not ideal.
How are their colorations?
I've only had them for a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're gonna be so nice after, I would say, 2 to 3 months would be I guess prime growth.
I have some other galaxies that I had. Where they were? Oh yeah, my nano bathroom tank. I used to have a tank in the bathroom in my previous home.
Okay.
I ran out of space everywhere else. So you know, the bathroom had a really nice countertop. So I was like, oh, there's plenty of room for a little tank. And then when I moved, I put them in my little shallow in my 5S, which is what, 2 gallons?
Mm-hmm.
It's really small. And then recently, because I set up a bigger shallow, it's like, okay, I'm going to move them from the little shallow to the big shallow. And they are so, so, so colorful. And you know why I think it is?
Why?
Because they've been eating baby shrimp in there
the whole time. Oh, nice. Right.
Yeah, I have some orange sun-kissed and some yellow, whatever you call those. And I'm sure they're eating babies. I'm sure they're eating baby shrimp.
They're eating good.
So, and I think that's it. Like the high protein.
Oh yeah.
The colorful baby shrimplets. I almost don't want to put them with the other ones in the cube because it's like they're gonna give them a run for their money. They look so beautiful, so like bright red. I've never seen.
Do you have enough shrimps to kind of sustain that environment?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Sure. Yeah. I don't even worry about it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Ryan was mentioning earlier because he wants to move some pea puffers around. And I'm like, just put them with the shrimp and they'll be fine. And he's like, oh, they'll eat the babies. And I'm like, there'll be more babies.
Oh, yeah. Shrimp. I wanted to do that one day.
Yeah.
Pea puffers with like a huge population of shrimps.
Yeah. I ended up losing like half the colony just naturally. Like it wasn't anything puffers, bad because, you know, most of the shrimp survive, but so I'm trying to build that colony back up, and it's like I'm not ready to throw those in there yet because they're just gonna go to town.
I've kept puffers with shrimp too, and sure enough, I never saw baby shrimp in that tank. Yeah. Never ever. But the adults were fine. So it's like we always say, people tell you, oh, you can't keep puffers and shrimp together. Yeah, you can. You know, it comes with certain limitations, and you're going to pay a price for that, but you can keep shrimp and puffers together. No problem.
Yeah. Depends on the tank size, the environment.
And how hungry they get. And
yeah.
It's almost so many factors. It's almost like a beta. It's like the second they eat one, it's kind of like, yeah, that's my new diet.
See, the same tank that had the puffers had a beta too. What tank is that? Oh, that's the one that I put down.
Okay.
My Southeast Asian jungle tank.
You had a puffer and a beta together?
Oh, I had like maybe five puffers, a beta, shrimp, and then I had a bunch of different rasboras. Espay rasboras and the emerald eye rasboras. And I had some emerald dwarf rasboras in there too.
Mm.
What else was in that tank? Oh, and the hill shrimp loaches. I call it Southeast Asian just because I needed to call it something.
I want those guys.
It was quite the mix, and it was good. It, like that tank was like rolling for over a year, no problem.
How many gallons was it?
29.
Okay.
Yeah. Very heavy hill shrimp.
Okay. I want to put hill shrimp loaches in my shallow tank, the one that I'm working on right now.
I want to do that.
We both talked about that. Yeah.
They're so cute. Very adorable.
Yeah. And that's almost like the perfect environment with them for that, you know, the water flow and everything.
The way the water flows in shallow tanks, yeah, it would be really cool. I don't know. I think I run out of space on my big shallow now, and the little shallow is just too little. But
I love shallow tanks.
We love them too.
I'm obsessed with it. This is my first shallow tank, and I want more. And I think that tank kind of made me realize that aquariums are, this is like a canvas now, you know? Like just being able to escape a tank, it gives you like a different aesthetic.
It's just funny because...
Totally different look.
Who was it that we were talking to a few weeks ago? And he was saying, it's like, oh, it's shallow, it's so limiting. And I'm like, no, it's the opposite.
Oh,
no, because
it's crazy.
Because you got unlimited vertical space.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'm thinking to tear down my 5S, my UNS 5S, and just change it for a 45S.
Or just change the concept of it and just
redo
it.
I want a bigger. I want a bigger one. I think
would you do a 60S?
I have a 60S already.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of my favorite tanks right now.
Mm-hmm. That's is that 60S. Your new shallow? Is that
yeah,
the one
that
you did?
Yeah, that one's a 60S, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask, what's that rock that you got, that big one?
That one should be Siriu.
Okay.
It's pretty big. There's a funny story for that rock because a local shop near me had it on display. And I have a 50-gallon, which I've never set up yet. I was in the moving process, and I guess I just never set it up. But I was trying to find rocks, really, really big size rocks to kind of complement that 50-gallon size. And I was trying to do like a very huge rockscape tank. But that rock that I saw in the shop, the guy would not sell to me.
Oh,
you know?
Why not?
I saw it. He was using it already, but I was hunting all over the city. I'm like, I want that rock. You know, I seen how big it was, and I'm like, I need that rock. And I was asking him. He wouldn't budge. A couple months later, he tore down the tank, and I seen that same rock. And I told him, like, is this for sale now? And he's like, yes. And he sold it to me. And that's how I got that rock.
You had to be patient.
Yeah. So I bought that rock. Yeah, I was like 3 years ago, if anything. And I finally got to use it. So I'm very happy. It's like it's just been waiting for so long.
Yeah, that's so cool when you have a piece of hardscape that you've really wanted and you don't know what to do with it, but you know you want it.
Right.
And then the right scape comes. That is just perfect for it.
I think I paid like $100 for the rock.
Yikes.
Around there. It was heavy, you know? Like, just knowing how they charge by pounds, I picked it up and went, oh, this is going to be an expensive piece of rock.
Yeah.
You know, and like, one thing that pushed me to make my Instagram account is because not many of my friends enjoy this hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't really have anyone to talk to except mm-hmm. that one close friend I had that introduced it to me. And I was able to showcase, I guess, this hobby in a different way. And I think what I'm happy about with this Instagram account is I've been able to show friends now who have not aquascaped before, who've never done aquariums. They're starting to appreciate mm-hmm. the tanks now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I want to do with my page and my content, just reintroduce this hobby that people know about, but they don't really know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
have them appreciate
you know,
it.
Even though, and like you mentioned earlier, Japan and you know how big it is over there, but here in the West, it's still a semi new concept. Definitely not mainstream yet. So there's a lot of work to do. And people like you and accounts like yours, they're really bringing it to you know close to the people, to people that are not in the hobby yet. There's a lot of people in the hobby that really understand the importance of spreading the word and spreading the works and just making this hobby more accessible and making more people get into it. The aquascaping rhino, for example, or, you know, he's very committed to it with his new YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
With Alex Scapes.
Yeah.
If you guys don't follow them yet on Instagram, go take a look because they're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
At making the hobby accessible to people and just explaining the how-tos. And sure, there's so much information out and about, but...
It's so niche. Like, it's very niche.
Yeah.
I had a gentleman in my on my messages. He lives in Australia.
Hmm.
And a pea puffer cost $1,000.
No way.
Over there. Yeah, he sent me a screenshot. I didn't believe him because I'm like, I thought it was a rare puffer. He sent me a screenshot. It was a pea puffer and it was priced at $1,000. And he's like, in Australia, the hobby is so difficult to get in because everything is very expensive.
Huh.
Like, it's so limited over there. And I thought Toronto was pretty limited a few years ago. Now it's starting to grow, which I'm very happy about. But to see someone in this time in like Australia, and I'm sure there are many other places where people are struggling to get different species, you know, different types of equipment. You know, like even in Canada, like we do not have the greatest selections to buy everything. Mm-hmm. My Twin Star, I had to order it from the States, you know. The new local shop in Oakville near me, I'm making content for them too, Planted Aquaria. They just opened and they're trying to carry things that are limited usually in Canada, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very happy to have shops like that. It just allows us to enjoy this hobby and get the things that we need to create our art. You know, like you can't paint if you don't have a paintbrush. Exactly. You know what I mean? And
there's a lot of room to grow. And we sometimes forget because we're so into it and we're so much inside of the bubble that we kind of forget about the outside of the bubble. But then you talk to people from all over the world and some people have a really hard time accessing and sourcing equipment and livestock and plants even.
Yeah, plants too.
We were talking to someone in Europe a couple of weeks ago and they were talking about, I mean, they can't get simple carpeting plants right now, or certain, you know, fish are just so expensive because no one could get it to them. And, you know, especially when, you know, go through a pandemic on top of it, it's like everything kind of shut down and it's like, oh, we're on our own.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of got lucky and it almost made it more accessible for us because the demand was there. So we were able to get more of it. So we kind of got lucky, but it's one of those things, like when you're trying to get someone into the hobby and you're making it so expensive, it's almost...
to turn off.
Yeah, it is.
It's prohibitive and it's very elitist and it's not good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, again, it's a very niche thing.
So, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that has a price. That's why the more people we get into it, the less of a niche it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And the easiest will be for everybody. But let's take a break. Let's get out of this post-apocalyptic funk that we got into real quick.
All right.
And we'll take it back from here. You guys, don't go anywhere. Thanks to Hero Aquatics for sponsoring this episode and for sponsoring the giveaway this month.
Yeah, they're giving away a beautiful little spotlight that will add accent to any of your little nano tanks or...
Perfect for any little terrarium or any little aquarium that you might have in mind. You can enter the giveaway through the post in our Instagram grid, and remember that we have two winners this month. There will be two spotlights that Hero is going to be giving away, and then we will complement the prize with a piece of merchandise from our website, rumblefishpodcast.com. So you get to pick which piece of merchandise you want, and we'll send that your way.
What an awesome giveaway. I mean, we're going to see those Rumblefish sweaters out there.
I know. Every time I wear mine around, people are like, oh, that's cool. And even if they don't know anything about the hobby and stuff, I don't know. I think it's they're cool pieces of merchandise. My favorite is the coffee mug, though.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I have like three of them.
My favorite's a sweater by far.
Yeah, the sweatshirt.
Don't forget to enter, and you can have your choice, and you can tell us what one is your favorite.
So don't forget to enter and visit heroaquatics.com, which they're also having some really cool sale for Black Friday. So don't forget to check heroaquatics.com for that and just to see all their awesome products. I mean, I really, really like their little terrariums. I might need to ask Santa for one of them. But yeah, check them out. Check rumblefishpodcast.com and good luck.
It's nice. You guys are all, everyone's trying to grow this community, you know, and I think that's so important. Like we discussed earlier about how niche this is, mm-hmm. and how hard it is to access, you know, the plants, the equipment, everything, you know, like UNS tanks are hard to get in Canada as well.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, like it's just, everything is so expensive, so scarce, and everyone doing their own thing to, you know, showcase this hobby. I feel like it's just a great thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny because people laugh at me, or my friends used to laugh at me when I was buying wood and rocks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Anthony, well, what'd you do today? I'm like, oh, I was buying rocks.
And dropping $100 for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's even worse.
They think I'm crazy, you know, but.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a purpose to what you're doing, it's very... You gotta be in the hobby to understand. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
You
know? We've hashtagged that the sexy rock. Hashtag sexy rock.
The sexy rock effect. When I went to Europe earlier this year and I brought a tank. I put a 45S in my suitcase and I brought it over to Europe because
no way
they can get, like, it's not even a customs problem. They can get UNS in Europe. And my husband was like, what? Like, you're
How did you pack it? Like,
really good.
Wow. I'm so impressed.
I basically just put all my clothes inside and then I put all clothes around it and I made like a makeshift styrofoam little corner situation. You know, it went from the US to Spain and then from Spain to Greece. No problem.
That is crazy.
No problem whatsoever.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now this was your carry-on though, right?
No, that was what I checked in.
Okay, I was going to say, man, you get those to the baggage claims, there's no way that's surviving.
It did. I packed it real good.
That's so crazy. Wow, yeah. Very impressed.
I remember when this was with Patrick Orr, GM, and I was like, oh, I'll bring you a 5S. And he's like, I want a 45S. And I'm like, damn you.
Wow. Like,
that's twice the size. it literally took the whole suitcase. Like, there was very little room around it. So most of my clothes went inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
The things we do, you know, and then I came back from Greece with a big,
The wood is different too.
Even different areas in the same country. Like tomorrow we're having a little get together for my birthday. And you know, a lot of my fish friends are coming over and they're all excited because there's a creek by my house. And last time I went for a hike over there, there was a lot of salvinia. No. Azolla. There was like a bunch of wild azolla, like literally covering the whole creek, and like a bunch of marginal plants and like a ton of like crazy weird things. And they're all like excited to go to the creek and just pick stuff and throw it in their tanks.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun too. But yeah,
it's hard not bringing things back. You know, you see something unique and you just want to bring all this, all these rocks, all these woods back, and it's like you have no space.
I know.
Like, I don't know how you brought your wood back.
It's surrounded by all my clothes. I also bought a bunch of products that we don't have here, like stutters and stuff like that. Things that we don't have.
Like bacteria and all that.
Like bacteria and like some medicines and stuff that we don't have over here. And then at the same time, I was just bringing some of the ones that we have here over there.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
I was like a little black market of aquarium products. Yeah, we're weird. But, you know, I was just talking to somebody today, too. Like, we're all the same kind of crazy.
But, I mean, I'm thinking about it. Like, your driftwood and those rocks that you got from Japan, like, that's, like, a special connection that you're going to have in that tank. It makes it so much more special. That no one else is going to have.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. There's a story behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It, like, adds to it. Even if it's just a little bit off, like, when you tell the story, like, no one's going to have that. That's one of those things that's just amazing to me.
And that piece of driftwood, which is actually vine root, and it's a terrarium piece of wood. That's not meant for aquariums.
Well, I mean, technically, so is like spider wood and all that
too. I'm learning. I'm learning about it the bad way.
What's gonna happen? Like it's gonna break down? And...
No, it's just disintegrating. Like I siphon out so much brown debris every single week. So much of it. It's just like, it's become a nightmare. But I love it so. But, yeah. Hopefully it stops eventually. Yeah. Anyways, where are you at right now? What are you working on?
Right now?
Yes.
What am I working on?
Yeah.
In terms of my hobby
Right.
I'm still working on my shallow tank. It's not close to completing yet. I went to Vancouver, I think it was a week ago. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the times nowadays because I feel like the pandemic, it's like I forget the days and everything. Mm-hmm. But I just came back from Vancouver and I left my tank for 5 days. I had a bit of a algae bloom. I'm waiting for my carpet to fully grow in before I add the sand in my tank. There's a sand pathway that I'm trying to finish up. I'm sure you guys see the empty space. And then underneath the rock where there's a shadow on the left side, I'm trying to have a small mini sand pathway over there too. Okay. So that's one of my modifications to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to add Blixa on the right corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want so far.
I had a little bit of Blixa in my shallow too, but the scale wasn't working, so I had to pull it out. And I replaced it with some Heliocaris pusilla.
Okay.
Which is like way smaller and thinner. It kind of grows in bunches as well, so.
That's cool.
It's doing the trick. I love Blixa though. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Blixa.
I just put some in my shallow. I'm actually very happy with it.
You need more.
I do need more. I need about like 3 times the amount that I have in there right now. But I gave some to a friend because I was like growing it out of control. It's like one of those instances where you have too much and then you give like more than half of it away and you're like, oh, that's right. I don't have any more. The only thing I don't like about the plant is for you to really be able to spread it is you have to uproot it and, you know, split it to really grow more or have it spread. Because it just kind of, the way it grows in that big bunch. Because
it grows in crowns.
Yeah. It's almost like
I've never grown them.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's very similar to a crypt. Like, it's almost like, unless, like, sometimes you don't even see the other one shooting out because it's under either the soil or it's coming up next to it. Like, you almost have to take it out, split it, and then replant it.
Interesting.
It doesn't put out shoots.
No.
No?
Not, what, Bilixa?
Yeah.
No, it's all crowns. Like, it's almost like a, it's a very big bunch. Like, if you see, like, a big piece of Bilixa and then you pull it out, you can easily get 10 to 15 little portions out of it.
Mm.
Like, it's very fascinating. But the That's downside so cool. is you do have to uproot it, split it, and then replant it.
Replant it. I might have to do, like, in a separate tank, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just use that to, like, spread. A little farm, yeah.
A little plant farm, like...
We were talking to Jordan about that.
Tahitian.
Oh, yeah, he has the farm.
Yeah.
It was funny because we were talking to Jordan, though, about the how many tanks do you need to have. And it's like, well, you need one for growing plants, one for your extra tanks, you know, some for the babies, some. And it's like, oh, now you're at 7 tanks right there.
Minimum.
I need space. And I want a big space and have all these tanks. I have so many tanks I want to build. I just have the space for it.
I know. That's a struggle. I'm a little bit there too, because I moved from a bigger place. I had a huge living room in my previous home, and I basically took over the living room before I took over the guest room and the bathroom. But now I don't have a guest room. I do have a sunroom and a living room, but they're about the same size as the previous one, but they're two different spaces. So I'm not allowed to take over both of them at the moment.
That's why I took over the garage. There were no complaints there.
Do you guys have like a YouTube channel? Do you guys have anything else? No.
I used to work on TV for a long time, and I kind of and I kind of don't want to have anything else to do with it anymore.
Fair enough.
If you think editing, I mean, you know, editing audio, it's a pain. It's a pain. Editing video is like 10 times the pain.
Video is so much work. Mm-hmm. It's so a lot much. Of work.
Let's just skip the editing and do a live podcast one time.
Yeah. Maybe.
That'd be a true rumble right there, because there's no going back.
I'm too much of a perfectionist to do anything live. It's like, I need to edit and polish before.
Yeah. It could be fun.
Maybe we can do like a big group live interaction. That might be fun, you know? I don't know.
That would be a mess.
That'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, because we were talking like when we had like all the friends over, it's like, oh, we could just have like one just like friends podcast, and it's just, there's a lot. When you have 7 people trying to chat at the same time, it's like, I mean, the 3 of us chatting, sometimes we're talking over each other. And then imagine like having like 4 or 5 more people, like
drunk people.
Drinking. We should do this next time with some drinks. Yeah. That'd be fun.
We did that once. It didn't go well.
It went okay.
For you, maybe.
It was fun.
Anyways, Anthony, it was a pleasure rumbling with you. I feel like we've rumbled the most we've ever rumbled today.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It was a fun
it's
time.
Bad, it's bad and good.
That's fine. That's fine. No, it was a pleasure meeting you guys.
But thank you for joining into this madness, this little bit of madness that we have going on here. It's all control though. It's all under control. We'll keep track of that shallow tank.
Yes.
And those improvements at Buoyscape on Instagram. If somebody doesn't follow you yet, go take a look and decide. But I think you will want to follow him up, follow Anthony up. And I don't know. We'll talk to you maybe in a while when you have that going on. Let's see how it went.
I can't wait. It's exciting. I'm excited to add livestock. You know, it's been like it's over a month now, and I still don't have fish in there.
Do you have
Who doesn't want fish
you have
in
anything
tank?
In mind?
I was thinking about just having pure galaxies in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want orange shrimps to complement the UG. Mm-hmm. Hillstream loaches I want.
Mm-hmm.
But things might change. I don't know.
Green neons. Green neons. I love green neons. Mm-hmm. Love, love, love.
I love the way they swim.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It'll be cool. I'm actually cinematically documenting the shallow escape.
Oh, that's awesome.
So once it's complete, I'm gonna put a nice long video. Mm-hmm. Like I'm gonna shorten it, obviously, but like mm-hmm. I'm gonna put all the clips together and then see the process from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my side project I'm like working on too.
Oh, definitely keep track of that for sure.
Thanks again. It's been such a pleasure. I'm glad we were finally able to catch a time that worked for all of us. Just such a super fun chat. And again, if anyone is not following, go follow this guy, Buoyscapes. Beautiful content, Beautyscape. Sorry, no S there.
No S at the end.
Like we said earlier, your photography skills is just some of the best I've seen.
And I have to say, I'm a sucker for dark photography. Like anything that's dark, I mean. and you have that dark aesthetic that it really pushes my buttons. So big fan over here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
guys
for being such an awesome creator. And yeah, we'll follow up with whatever you come up next.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.